This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Tenshi's moving to Tokyo. What are we gonna do? Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we watch a Toonami program and then try to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about Tenshi in Tokyo episodes 1 through 13. Now, I was under the impression that this was the last Tenshi thing aired on Toonami at any point.
Right.
And I was, like, kind of excited because it meant that, to be honest, A, we didn't have to deal with Tenshi anymore. B, that we would have actually gotten through an entire franchise for the first time.
Right.
But apparently, Tenshi Muyo GXP premiered on the revived Toonami. I've heard that show is not good, so great.
I've heard it's like one of the bigger regrets of things they ever aired on Toonami, so that's good. Because of its low quality.
Yeah, well,
so that's
I guess we'll
fun.
See. The Tenshi series that doesn't have Tenshi in it, or any of the other
right.
characters.
Well, it doesn't have, it's like Denshi or some shit. Like, it's just like one letter off.
Benchi. No, it's Sina, I believe, is the character's name.
Okay.
I'm not going to do any more research into Tenshi Muyo GXP, except to know that there is another character named Ryoko, so that's super fun.
Yeah, different characters, same names. Fuck it.
Yeah,
Ryoki,
why not?
Ryoko, Ryosuke. Why not?
Yeah,
Ryo.
Right. Good lord, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that specific like bullcrap anymore. I don't know why I said bullcrap as though I'm like a 13-year-old talking in front of my mom.
We're going for the tween audience today. They all want to hear about Tenshi in Tokyo's original airing and the 90s
before they were born.
Because, boy, that's a thrilling thing for kids.
Right. Well, I think this show's worth talking about. I have one specific thing that I want to talk about, which is I think this is the first time that we've been watching an episode of a show and halfway through I said, holy shit, I remember this episode, and then proceeded to lay out how the rest of the episode went based on memory. Which is remarkable to me because I have not done that with any other show, but that kind of cemented to me that this is, in fact, the Tenshi series that I actually watched a lot of. So there's some nostalgic value to it for me that the other ones didn't have. Also, that the episode in question features a giant contractor monster being constructed by the main cast for reasons that are too stupid to go into right now.
It's a good episode.
It is, but the giant contractor monster I definitely drew. Like, I remember that distinctly.
Nice. You know, I actually, doing some research on the, we had the topic on the last minisode about remakes, and I did some extra research about a Tenshi Muyo remake, or what I thought was one. Because it was like, I don't know, it's like the, I think it's the latest Tenshi thing that's released. It was in 2014.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was I Tenshi Muyo, which I think means love Tenshi Muyo. And this is like a 5-minute episode web series, I guess. That not great. It's also just a growing trend in anime these days. That's just like everything is like fucking 10
yeah, ONA stuff.
Yeah, which I, you know, I don't hate, but I kind of miss just having longer episode things.
Yeah, right. I mean,
the
I could bitch about Gundam Thunderbolts 15-minute episodes with 3.5 minutes of credits, but
yeah, seriously. Especially with more serious stuff. Like, if it's joke thing, it works a little better. It's like, yeah, it's fine, one-off gag thing. But with this, it was, I thought it was a remake because I briefly looked over the Wikipedia page and saw, and it was like, oh, the entire cast looks different, but it has the old cast members. It's like, oh, so did they like actually redesign Tenshi and all these characters? The answer, it turns out, is no. And I wasted my time watching like 3 episodes of this for nothing. It turns out the old cast, I forgot temporarily
that it's only like 5 minutes long. I expect you sat through an hour of this. Like, where's Tenchi? Wasn't he here yet?
Tenchi's on in the beginning, but like the other characters I was looking for, and the whole thing is just stupid. And it's ridiculous because the show is co-sponsored by the region Okayama of Japan, like the city of Japan province. Co-sponsored the show. Which is awesome. It also makes it crazier that that's also has the most fan service nudity shit I've in any of the Tenchi things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But is also like sponsored by a city.
It's not Okayama is a prefecture, actually.
Okay.
Not
thank
a city.
You. But yeah, it's something else. It just seems kind of stupid. It's just kind of like
short
classic over the top bullshit.
Yeah, it's strange to me.
Tenchi's a student teacher, and here's all these girls who, I guess, are high schoolers thinking about it. That are all over him.
Yep.
And also, for some reason, it's related to like the story of Momotaro, which is like this old folklore tale that I know nothing about, so I could really not get into it. So that's a big fat zero.
Yeah. Yeah, good. All right. Tenchi Muyo is not worth it, apparently, based on that brief review.
I will say, though, this Tenchi series is worth it so far. I've quite enjoyed watching this.
Yeah, right.
Tenchi in Tokyo.
Well,
let's get into how the production of the show shakes out.
You know, usually we talk about the dub history a little bit. This one is not that interesting. One of the things about it that's kind of weird so far is that there's been pretty much no nudity, like none that I've noticed anyway, which I can't say I miss, but it must have been way, way easier on the censors, because basically all they need to do is edit out references to alcohol, and there's probably some stuff that's like vaguely risque beyond the point where kids are going to understand it or whatever.
Sexual innuendo jokes that are a bit too far, I guess.
Which there haven't really been many of those to my recollection either. But
that's true. There haven't. The one they did have them in like Universe, they're super clumsy. It was like,
well,
give me your balls, Tenchi. I mean the gems. They're spheres. Get it?
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
It worked much better back in Tenchi Muyo when Ryoko was very interested in Tenchi's sword. And the common double entendre. But what's weird about this show is that it's not a sequel to Tenchi Universe, even though it seems like it should be by basically every measure. Right. Like, it came out after Tenchi Universe. Universe had an open ending for a sequel, and the show just starts.
It starts with all the characters. Like,
yeah, there's no introduction to anything or any of the concepts. So at first we assumed that it was in fact a Tenchi Universe sequel. It is not. It is entirely a new continuity again, which is impressive.
Love doing that for some reason.
Yeah, it's like the Godzilla movies after like the 1980s remake, where every sequel they made after that, I believe, discounted everything except the original movie. So
nice.
Yeah, that's just a weird like reboot thing, I guess. But I suppose, like, you probably know all of this if you've been listening to our show, the series primer of Tenchi. We'll go through it anyway, but it's not changed all that much from the previous series. We've got Tenchi Misaki, who is a pretty normal teenager who happens to have some kind of awesome destiny, but he also just wants to live a normal life, and also is just, I guess, catnip for women. Like,
for some reason,
every
really
woman
bland.
Is in love with him immediately.
He's just bland and awkward and not like particularly masculine or like, I don't know, cool or anything. There's no reason for him to have this much attention, but
well,
I guess
not,
that's
like,
part of the joke.
Yeah, he's just a boring person. Like, really, that's what it comes down to. There's not too much with him to latch on to, yet everyone seems to. So then there is the harem, which, God, you know, I did air quotes with that, but still, like, sure. I think the judgment came across in my voice. So there's Ryoko, who is a space pirate who falls in love with Tenchi, obviously, and is pretty sexually forward, very, like, uncultured, quote-unquote. Yeah.
Drinks, you know, a bunch.
Yeah, she's
also
an alcoholic.
Can fly and has ghost powers.
Yeah, right.
She can go through walls and shit.
And then there's Ayaka, who is basically the Madonna to Ryoko's whore, using that paradox. She is a princess and is more reserved and shy and repressed, but also basically just as bad as Ryoko.
Yeah.
Because the two of them are both extremely controlling and jealous and suspicious. And at this point, they're basically just stalking Tenchi. Like, yeah. That's really what it is. They're stalking him and competing with each other for who can stalk him better.
Even though they live with him. I guess because he moves away, though. Then they're
stalking. Yeah, right. So Ayaka has a little sister named Sasami, who seems to be the only member of the household who's competent at anything.
Yeah.
She cooks, cleans, etc., and she's, you know, like a 12-year-old girl. She has a pet/guardian named Ryo Oki, who is a cat rabbit, or Cabot, who is the mascot of the series.
Yeah.
Because...
absurdly cute.
Yeah, she is ridiculously adorable.
The most, like, if you just, like, look it up, just, like, they had to design cute, and they're like, we got it.
Yeah.
Fucking nailed it. It's the cutest thing we could even think of.
They found the platonic ideal of cuteness,
yeah,
and brought it to life somehow.
But also it can transform into a spaceship or a mech.
This one
it can transform into a mech. That's new.
Yeah,
and the mech
right.
is basically... it basically... they become D.Va from Overwatch. Like...
sort of,
it's
yeah.
crazy.
It's like a big pink kind of rabbity mech.
Yeah, right. That Sasami jumps into and pilots and shit.
But only sometimes. Like
once?
She does it in the first episode, and then apparently Ryoki can just transform into a self-directed mech also.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Sasami felt the need in that moment, but whatever.
Because it looks cool.
Yeah, right. Ryoko's former partner is a mad scientist called Washu, who is basically a genius and is very self-aggrandizing. She tends to invent things that don't work super well. The things that she does invent that do work super well tend to be kind of weirdly childish.
In
their displays and graphics.
Always have a stupid flaw.
Yeah, right.
Like a self-replicating TV that just doesn't stop replicating, so they have a billion TVs and it destroys the house.
Yeah, or trying to make food that supposedly tastes really great, but the only way that she can figure out how to make food is through genetic manipulation. Yeah,
yeah, it's like DNA replicating pre-cooked, like, amazing food, and then it just turns out to be like some Cthulhu monster.
Yeah, some weird tentacled thing in a dish. But we're not done with the characters yet, because there is a big-ass cast to this show. Almost there. We have Mihoshi, who is a galaxy police officer who is pretty damn incompetent, loves the show Space Police Policemen, which is kind of a Power Rangers-esque show, it seems, in-universe. And she screws things up a lot for her partner, Kiyone, the final character who's important, who is basically just a kind of put-upon galaxy police officer who wants badly to get promoted and is kind of bored with her current job.
When she's saddled with Mihoshi and it's constantly just... even though she's not very competent herself.
Yeah, she shit-talks Mihoshi constantly, and Mihoshi just kind of takes it. Mihoshi is very much a grown-up Serena from Sailor Moon, like, in a lot of ways, I feel
like.
Cranked
up a bit in the... ditzy clumsiness kind of aspect.
Yeah, sure. But in the sense of, like, not really noticing or seeming to care that Kiyone is constantly putting her down.
So yeah, most of the plot is usually your typical kind of monster of the week stuff in maybe the weirdest way I've seen, and we've watched all of Sailor Moon. Like, they the overall tone of this show is, like, much more wacky than any of the other ones. Overall, they still have, like, some drama shit in it, which I think generally is kind of a weaker part of it, but really they go hard on the wackiness, even the character designs too, which are slightly different, but they also do a lot more of like the chibi kind of weird stuff with the characters.
Right,
they're getting
like
really exaggerated,
deformed expressions basically are pretty common in this show. But
I really like it. But it's way more than in Universe or in Muyo original.
Yeah, right. But as this is a Monster of the Week type show, I figure that we'll just kind of go through the setup for it and then kind of the villain and her motivations or what there are. And then
whatever that is.
Yeah, and then where we are now at the end of the first 13 episodes. So in this version, everyone met about 2 years before the start of the series. Ryoko and Washu were obviously partners in crime, and they stole a Jirai Lightstone, Jirai being the planet that Ayaka is princess of. So Kiyone and Mihoshi for the Galaxy Police are pursuing them. Ayaka and Sasami are kind of looking over their shoulder to try to assist in stopping it, but not really necessary. Ryoko's ship loses power. They land because they find a power source on Earth that can basically repower their impenetrable shields. This power source turns out to be a humongous crystal around Tenshi's neck, which somewhat conveniently seems to be made out of 7 smaller crystals. So,
well, it's as if they were going to split up and give them to 7 different women.
Well, 6 women and himself, I believe. So everyone lands on Earth. There's this big fight between Ryoko and Ayaka, very Dragon Ball Z, with quips thrown around like, oh, is that an attack? Like that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Ryoko puts the Jirai Lightstone in her forehead and turns into a crazy monster, which comes out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just like goes totally berserk and like kind of stretches out a bit and gets bigger and buff and like
she's monstrous. Like it's not like she's just bigger, she's demonic.
She loses control entirely too.
So Tenshi stumbles into this battle and his crystals turn into a big sword. He defeats Ryoko. Basically everyone gets injured. And then everyone falls in love with him because he's nursing them back to health. It's that old cliche.
Right.
So this all happened about 2 years ago. Now, we don't learn any of this until episode 7. So the way we're first introduced to the series is basically, if you haven't seen a Tenshi series before, you will have no idea what the hell's going on. Because the first episode of the show is that Tenshi's moving to Tokyo because he just wants to be a normal kid, and all the girls are really upset about it. But fortunately, Washu has a solution, which is this kind of portal that can go between, you know, any 2 points. One of those points ends up being Tenshi's bed, which is the 2nd creepiest place it could be in his apartment, I think.
Yeah.
After the shower. And the other is kind of stuck on the ceiling of the Masaki household for some reason. It bounces around. Like, they accidentally stick it to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which Ryoko, who can fly, is pretty okay with. So, you know, Tenshi takes a job at a local shrine run by a guy who's friends with his grandfather who runs a shrine in Okayama, and starts going to school, and he meets this girl named Sakia, who's immediately in love with him, because of course she is, because everyone is. So that's basically the first episode in the setup for the series. We've got this character named Yugi, who appears every once in a while, who has a ridiculous design.
This is Yugi's design I could really go off on. She's the epitome of, like, too many ideas all
I can
thrown
see
together.
That, yeah.
So she's clearly the main villain, like super powerful, just appears at the end of episodes most of the time. And in this really weird layer that she has of just random shit floating around. And
yeah,
all
it's like
kind of cool looking.
Well, yeah, she's like a little girl with stupid hair floating in the middle of like this big metal like shell that's kind of like a cape, but it's way out from her body. I don't know how to describe it.
It's
so
really
strange.
Spiky and bulky and weird, and she floats there and has this really stupid headpiece that just seems like it's kind of just filtering her hair upwards and
yeah,
out.
That's basically what it's doing.
And it looks really dumb. And it's like, yeah, let's go with a creepy girl, creepy little girl villain angle, and then throw her, give her psychic powers, she can float, she's in this stupid coffin thing, her hair's really fucked up.
Yeah, give her Orga whatever. From Iron-Blooded Orphan's hair.
Yeah.
I'm a time traveler, by the way. So Yugi is obviously the main villain. Her motivations aren't super clear yet, as far as the series goes, so I guess we'll get more into that next episode. But she has several hench people. We've got Hatsuma, who's a blonde man with glasses, and he hits on Ryoko at one point. Ryoko, somewhat hilariously, tries to set him up with Ayaka to get rid of Ayaka. There's Mitori, who's a brunette woman with like tiger stripes, and Suguru, who, according to Tenshi Wiki, is a man, seems more androgynous, really.
Yeah.
So that's the villain. And in the final episode, she attacks the Misaki household. Also, she becomes friends with Sasami in one of the episodes we're going to talk about. And so she takes Sasami away from this big, crazy battle where, among other things, she shoves her hand through Ryoko's throat.
Oh, yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, it's that battle is ridiculous. And considering how goofy the show has been so far, it just becomes really dark for some reason. Like, it just comes out of nowhere, which is interesting. But at the end, Hatsuma and Suguru have sort of endeared themselves to the Misakis by helping fight off Yugi. So everything's going according to plan. She's got spies in the enemy camp or whatever she's planning on doing.
Yeah, still, like, fucking no idea on her motivations.
Yeah, it is... sort of hinted at that she's from Jirai, because Tenshi falls into this weird giant tree area with Jirai guardians, like the ones that escort Ayaka, and, you know, Yugi talks about it briefly. So there's that whole thing, but still her exact motivations are kind of unclear. So,
but really that's not the, you know, it's like that shit doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, so far that stuff is more or less irrelevant. So make room for, you know, random spirit monsters to to show up, and for Tenshi to try to date Sakia with all of these other people after him. Some crazy situations.
I will say I'm shocked they didn't have a fucking episode where Tenshi's trying to have a date with two women at once and he has to like keep like changing costumes something.
It really there's really one episode that seemed like it was going to be a two dates to the prom type episode, but it wasn't, which is good, I guess. But I would like to see Tenshi in more conventional, dumb, played out to all hell sitcom plots. But what was your favorite episode, Peter?
My favorite episode was episode 3, Long Distance Lunacy. It was actually kind of hard for me to pick a favorite episode, probably between like 2 or 3. This one is my favorite because it's really where I started to like the series a lot. In this episode, Tenshi basically figures out how to block the portal into his futon. So he folding
it blanket.
Over. No, so it's like it's on his futon, so by folding it over, it ruins the portal, I guess.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's pretty funny though, because like Ryoko is just like fucking supercharged to go torment him some more, and she just charges through the ceiling and slams into it, and everybody has a laugh because, you know, it's difficult to translate like funny slapstick moments into medium just being like, yeah, she hits a wall and it's funny.
Man, it's hilarious. This show does have a decent amount of slapstick in it.
Yeah, it does. Ryoko also screams, "Prepare for bliss!" and then just slams into the wall.
Yeah, prior to entering Tenshi's bedroom uninvited.
Basically what happens is, since they don't have a portal anymore and everyone in the house is insane, they're like, we have to watch Tenshi. How do we fucking watch Tenshi? That, to that extent, it's like, it's not that dark, but it's still like a little weird.
Oh no, it's weird.
You know, it's... I can hand wave it, but as a cartoon, but still just like, yeah, okay, this is, if this is real, this should actually just be bad.
Yeah, they're a bunch of stalkers. Like, yeah, there's really no getting around that. And Washu has a convenient invention already made.
Yeah. Yeah, she has this ridiculous invention that's like a relay system across Japan, because they're really far away from Tenshi.
Yeah.
So they have like a relay system of little robots, these little yellow robots that see Tenshi and then pass to each other point in the relay until they get back to the home Misaki house. This is relevant because this monster is summoned from the sadness of men who are broken up over cellular phone.
Yeah.
This spirit of cellular phones and other cordless devices. And he, it's just this big fucking ugly,
indescribable,
purple, muscular, distended
purple
monster
thing.
With... Yeah, with big teeth and a weird face, and he's just like, just swears death to all long-distance relationships. Because, yeah, that sounds like a normal thing you see in television.
Yeah, right,
And it's great because this is clearly like a time, clearly it was made in a time where cell phones were not super common. And so it just cuts to a random scene, unexplained, of this guy getting broken up with on his cell phone. And he's just like, but... Well, you can't break up with me. I'm the coolest. I have a cell phone. And then he breaks his phone and an evil spirit comes out. It's, yeah, there's a lot of stupid shit like that. What's my favorite thing in this is it has, like, my favorite kind of extended gag of any of these Tenshi shows that I've seen yet. And so far, it's like the evil spirit guy just warps all of the communications so that the robot, Washu's robots, get fucked up and all, for some reason, change shape and become like different personalities. And so now everything they relay back to the Misaki household is warped, like a game of telephone. They transmit like visual information too, so this telephone thing really doesn't make sense, but it's still pretty good.
Yes, but so it does morph the visual as well somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, so you see, like, the original robot being like, oh, Tenshi's catching a goal in soccer. All right, great. And then he passes it along to, like, this guy and this guy and this guy and to, like, an old guy robot and all these dumb little robot personalities until it gets back to them at the Misaki household. And they're like, Tenshi's an egg-hating demon in hell. And it's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then in one thing that I would personally count against this episode, they do that joke and it's funny, and then they immediately do it again in total. Like,
I liked it. I was okay with that.
Yeah,
they do it again, and it's like Tenshi's doing calligraphy in an elephant costume. Like, it's just like stupid shit like that. I liked it. It was really goofy. The monster's so stupid. Ryoko just shows up and kicks its ass. Like, it's not. It's just weird fun, and that's kind of what this show has been at its best to me throughout the entire thing. Like, this is the episode that kind of let me realize it's like, oh, this is a bit different from the other series. Like, all the characters are a lot more cartoonish, and I think it's a good choice. Like, I think that actually works pretty well. So what was your favorite episode?
Yeah, my favorite is going to have to be episode 11, Moon Mission. This episode begins with Ryoko and Ayaka fighting over cookies that Tenshi has sent the household, if I remember correctly. And in their fight, they accidentally break this giant gold statue. So realizing that this is a valuable thing that belongs to Tenshi's grandfather, they decide to set it up as though it's not broken, put a cookie on top of it, and lure Ryooki on top of it so that Ryooki can look like it can appear that Ryooki, this tiny, adorable creature, has broken the statue in half on accident. Because Ryooki was misbehaving earlier, this causes Sasami to brutally chew her out, and yeah. Ryooki runs away into the woods. Also, one note, this is hilarious because it features Ayaka and Ryoko working together to pin the blame on someone else, specifically yeah. an adorable little creature, which is hilarious.
Yeah, just both being abjectly shitty. and working together to be shitheads.
Yeah, so Ryooki flees, runs into another Ryooki that's white, but it's not Kenoki from Tenchi Universe. It's Yuoki. Both of them transform into spaceships and then fly to the moon. This is all part of the villain Yugi's plan, and we know this because she says, haha, now she's trapped on the moon. Apparently forgetting that she can transform into a spaceship,
yeah,
which is how she got there, but
yeah,
no she's not trapped at all. On the moon, there's like a million Ryookis, but what this all boils down to is that Kiyone decides that rescuing Ryooki is the thing that's going to get her a promotion.
Yeah.
Which is absurd, because if you think about it, she's basically getting a cat out of a tree. Like, she's not doing anything impressive whatsoever, yeah. But she decides this. All of them, with the exception of Tenchi and Washu, go to the moon to retrieve Ryooki. Their spacesuits have Ryooki ears, and like
for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason at all. And like short legs, so they all kind of have Ryooki proportions on the moon. Washu back on Earth is wearing a Ryooki costume and forcing Tenchi to as well for no reason at all.
Just to fit in.
Basically, Sasami gets Ryooki back. All of the other Ryookis merge into Yuoki to make this giant Cabot that's kind of evil looking. Ryooki transforms into her giant mech form to fight the giant rabbit, beats it, and then it turns out that although Kiyone was trying to tape all of this so that she could have something to show her superiors, Mihoshi was actually taping an episode of Space Police Policeman, so none of it was taped.
Yeah,
and it's all for nothing. On Kiyone's part, one of my big problems with Tenchi Universe, for example, and I don't want to compare this show too much to the other ones, but it's kind of inevitable at this point. Like,
yeah,
you know, I know these characters from having watched, you know, 39 other episodes of television with them, so, or maybe it's 40, I'm not sure, but I felt like Universe kind of played favorites in a weird way. Like, much of the time in Universe, Kiyone was clearly settled with Mihoshi, who always fucked everything up. And, you know, Kiyone was just, like, perfect. Similarly, the dynamic between Ryoko and Ayaka was basically good, with Ryoko yeah. basically being the, like, shitty character. And what's great about this episode is it throws that kind of crap out the window. Basically, all of these characters are incompetent in some way. There's, you know, Ayaka and Ryoko team up to pin the blame for something on Ryooki, which is hilarious. Kiyone, like, hams it up for the camera in order to build up how awesome it is that she's yeah. rescuing this cat from the moon. And then it turns out that everyone left without her, so they're, like, already a mile away. And Mihoshi waves to her, like, come on, you gotta catch up.
Yeah.
And as she attempts to run, she trips and catapults across the moon. Like, it's just filled with, and it's just ridiculous. Like, the sight of five characters wearing these stupid spacesuits on the moon is so unbelievable. Like, I was basically laughing through the whole thing. It's like the perfect example of what this show can be. It's just totally goofy. It doesn't really take anything seriously. And frankly, best of all, Tenchi's barely in it. Like,
yeah.
He's in it for a couple lines. It really has nothing to do with him. It's just the rest of the cast having this adventure, which is fun.
The end of this episode's really wild, too, because, like, Ryooki turns into robot Ryooki and fights the evil Ryooki, punches him, and he's dead immediately. And he just teleports and disappears. And it's like, fight yeah. over. Okay. It was like, whoa, all right. And then, like, immediately Kiyone's thing resolves. Like, she realized that Mihoshi taped over it. For some, it shows a shot from Space Police Policeman of what is clearly, like, the scene after a Power Ranger does the final move on a on a giant enemy where the enemy's just standing there and then he explodes. Yeah. But it's a frog in a bikini just exploding, which is fantastic. And then the episode ends really brutally because Yugi confronts evil Ryoki and just fucking destroys him.
Yeah.
Like, sets him on fire and he, like, screams. It's like
crushes a crystal and he disappears, but still, it's just such a brutal dispatching of this, again, adorable-looking creature. Like,
yeah.
That was insane. It was a really good episode. Barely any Tenchi, a bunch of Ryoki's. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, right.
What about your least favorite?
My least favorite was it was episode 6, Playdate. I didn't like this episode primarily because it's a lot of it's a lot more of like dramatic Tenchi and plot focused Tenchi, which is not what I want. What happens is it's still got some funny aspects to it. What happens is basically like Sasami just gets fucking fed up with having to do everything for everybody. And especially when like they try and steal her money that she saved up. And
yeah.
It's like last straw just like leaves and runs away to Tenchi's place and hangs out with him. They go out and have some fun. In a really uncomfortable moment, Tenchi's just like, hey, this is kind of like if we were on a date.
Yeah, that's...
It's like, that's a 12-year-old
Tenchi.
Weird
as fuck. Like, why yeah. He would say that, I don't know. I think it's worth mentioning that Ayaka, Sasami's older sister, is one of the girls trying to steal money from her.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that pretty funny. But sorry, continue.
But in any case, thank God the episode isn't terrible because Tenchi chooses to further that plot line. Instead, he's just like, it's an offhand comment. What I don't care for about the episode is that Sasami gets like lured into this creepy antique store, or should I say antique store, as the sign appears to say, by one of the hench people. The who is that? Suguru?
I'm pretty sure Suguru appears later. Like, she goes into the antique store to follow this projection of Yugi that just looks like a more regular, creepy little girl.
Oh, yeah. And I don't even know the plot here. Like, what is Yugi's goal in this? Because Yugi just kind of becomes friends. I guess more of just trying to endear themselves to the Misaki people.
Yeah, from what I understand, the idea is that Yugi is trying to split them all up because... Yeah. You'd like the sword that's formed out of the crystal can defeat her or something like that.
Okay.
But I don't think that's actually become apparent yet. That's just what I've read.
So it's just this whole like, I guess it's kind of creepy. But she's met this creepy girl and has become friends with her and they get attacked by Suguru and I don't know.
Ryoki really fucking takes her time defending Sasami until Sasami's wounded. I think like twice, and then Ryoki's like, oh yeah, I can transform into a fucking mech. Like,
yeah, I forgot about that.
I'm not sure if Ryoki was just asleep. What were you doing? Come on.
Meanwhile, also, Tenchi just kind of loses Sasami, and it's like, oh shit, where'd she go? And then Sakuya comes in and is like, hey, what's up? Let's talk about our relationship. And he's like, eh, okay. I forgot about this shit.
Yeah, right. Fucking.
And then there's like a big dramatic moment and all that where she confesses her love and he doesn't, you know, he's like, all right, I'm not ready. And that becomes its whole big dramatic bullshit. That plot line itself is just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
There are some things I like about this episode. Yeah, there are things I like about this episode, though. There's some good gags. Just the aspect of Sasami holding fucking everything together and being the only competent character and also just being a child is really funny when seeing everyone else is just a shithead and lazy and useless. Like, it shows a couple scenes of, like, the household without Sasami, and they're just going crazy trying to find food, and everything's gone to disrepair. It's just, like, just a disaster.
Yeah, things immediately start falling apart, like Homer Simpson without Marge's care for like 2 days.
Yeah,
and
right.
He's already grown a beard and is using a rope as a belt. Like,
yeah. And that's where we get like Washu cooking, fucking up cooking with the DNA shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got some good goofs in it, but like it was kind of a 2/3 of a pretty boring episode.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. So my least favorite is an episode, episode 10, called Ryoko's Big Date. So the setup for this one is what I assumed was going to turn into the two dates to the prom episode, but doesn't. Essentially, Tenshi is checking his phone messages, and he has two messages, one from Ryoko, who is not requesting so much as asserting that they're going to have a date that Saturday, and Tenshi better show up or else. And the other from Sakuya, who, if I remember correctly, was requesting that they hang out at the park that weekend, not Saturday specifically. Yeah. So theoretically, Tenshi could do both. But instead, he goes out on the date with Ryoko, and Sakuya just sits in the park alone, like Lisa Hayes waiting for Rick Hunter. Just sits there alone. Except, of course, that, well, you know, Lisa had reason to be sitting there. Like, I don't know why Sakuya.
Rick had actually planned the date. In this case, she called Tenshi. Tenshi, I guess, didn't call her back. And she was like,
yeah,
well,
one can only assume
this...
it's not like we saw it. Like,
yeah, so it's like, I better wait in this location for, I guess, the entire weekend and hope Tenshi shows up, which is really sad.
Oh, God. Yeah, so.
And stupid. Like,
yeah, of course.
On.
It's dumb.
This is, like, unrealistic.
It doesn't make any sense. Man, it's so unrealistic. Fucking phasing space pirates who can fly. But, at any rate.
I'm talking about in terms of, like, how anybody would act.
I know. I'm just yanking your chain, Peter.
Yeah, you're yanking my chain too hard.
Yeah, so. The other thing that's weird about this is, so Ryoko shows up and she's like all effeminate, which is different, I guess. I mean, basically she has a different haircut and apparently she's wearing makeup. There's a funny scene earlier in the episode where she puts on makeup, does a terrible job of it, and everyone just loses their mind laughing at her, except Mihoshi, who starts crying when she sees Ryoko's makeup.
That was a really good gag. Because everyone just goes fucking insane. Like, Ayaka just can't handle it and is just laughing.
Yeah, of course.
Washu sees it and just flies across the room like she's been punched.
Right, then, right.
Yeah, Mihoshi sees it and just starts crying. I really love that.
But apparently Ryoko managed to figure out how to put on makeup without it looking crazy, because Tenshi notices halfway through the date that so far he's been totally hating that she's wearing makeup. And then basically he just decides, well, guess I'll start enjoying this date then. So then they have a like fun date, but it doesn't happen gradually. You know, it's not like Tenshi finds himself having fun in spite of himself. He just decides halfway through, yeah, I guess I'll have fun now. So
I guess
they continue dating. Eventually it ends, but Sakuya sees them together because they happen to be at the same park. So Sakuya kind of tells off.
She has waited 48 hours.
Right. So Sakuya kind of tells off Tenshi. Not really. It's more of like a, oh, I thought you were waiting for me. I see you're waiting for somebody else. Like, she's being pretty low-key about it, but, you know, clearly Tenshi's upset, and so is she. And she runs off, and that's basically where we leave it. And the thing about this episode for me is that, again, like yours, it's more dramatic. It plays into the Sakuya-Tenshi romance arc, which just doesn't work for me. Like, I'll talk about that more later, but I don't care, ultimately. I think that putting so much of this on Tenshi, like, it's to the point now where after so many series, I can't really feel that bad for Tenshi in this situation. And I know the show wants me to, but I can't help but be like, Tenshi, just make a fucking decision. Like,
yeah,
fuck you. You're just biding your time. Like, you know, he has a line to Sakuya where he's like, well, I don't want to string you along, but I don't know how I feel yet. And I was like,
right,
that's kind of stringing her along, Tenshi. Like, you're saying, like, I guess I'll figure it out at some point. Might as well wait around in the meantime.
I mean,
like,
and to be fair, I actually did relate a little bit to Tenshi in that regard, in that and just being an awkward teenager and stringing people along and feeling bad about it afterwards and not realizing really what I was doing.
Sure. And to be fair, they are teenagers, and I'm looking at this from more of an adult perspective. So, you know, it frustrates me more. But I don't know. I just don't sympathize with Tenchi, really.
Yeah, and it just seems like because Sakuya seems like the one person he actually likes in that way, and then, everything about it is just kind of fucked up, gets fucked up, rather, and part of it is just, him just being dense.
And kind
not making
of,
a decision.
Yeah, just, I don't know. And it's really, the not making a decision thing might not bother me so much if it weren't for the fact that this is the third of a series of technically unrelated shows. But, I've been watching this dynamic for so long that I just want to see them do something different with it, and they're not. And it's annoying, because, please, just vary it a little bit. We should probably get to the break. When we come back, I actually have more to say about Sakuya. And, positive stuff to say about the show, too.
Let's get on to our thoughts right after the break.
Tenchi Utopia will return in a moment.
Hey, it's Michael jumping in during the break for some acknowledgements. Bumpers are taken from the video Toonami December 2000 Bumpers, uploaded to YouTube by user ChrisGoku2000. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Diving by Anatech, and you can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode, where we cover the second half of Tenchi in Tokyo, will be up on March 28th, and next week will be our fifth minisode. As always, you can submit a topic suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter @HBpod, or our email, hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. Now, back to Tenchi in Tokyo.
What do you say we get on?
Tenchi in Tokyo now continues.
All right, so we're back from the break, and, as I said before the break, Sakuya and Tenchi, I just don't care. And I realized why the other day while I was kind of writing some of this stuff down, and it's because Sakuya does not exist outside of Tenchi. She doesn't exist outside of their subplot.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to grab onto. I could not describe her character. She's just a girl who likes Tenchi. Maybe she's kind of shy. But, we don't really see her interact with the other, main cast members. She doesn't get independent scenes with her friends. Her life is just non-existent outside of Tenchi.
She is a failed Bechdel test.
I guess, yeah. But she's I don't know, I can't care, because, to be honest, I think her perspective on all of this would actually be interesting. But there's nothing for me to latch onto with the character, and I don't really care about Tenchi, as I've said, because, him being kind of a boring guy who is destined for greatness was really funny to me 40-ish episodes of the same basic idea ago. But now it's just played out. I just want some kind of change to the formula, and this one is technically a change, I guess, because it's moving a love triangle into a love square, but I don't know. It's just not enough of a difference, and it's annoying.
I thought it was at least kind of interesting, the whole Sakuya thing, just because I feel like they've never actually done a love story in the show before. The previous two series touched on a little bit, because it's some characters, usually it's Tenchi and Ayaka kind of get along well, and there's hints that they're supposed to get together or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's never really delved into, despite all of the crazy all the women pining for him and the crazy shit that ensues, never do they really actually engage in any kind of romantic storyline until this one. I know there's like a movie and stuff, like Tenchi in Love or whatever.
Sure,
I don't
sure.
know about that. I'm talking, but as far as like what we've seen,
yeah, right.
This is one where it's like, oh, he actually goes on a date with her and is like kind of normal in this relationship for a little while before things start messing up. Yeah, I still have some of the same problems that you do. It's just like I came into it thinking Sakuya under what I think is the false impression that Sakuya is a character that had like was like secretly has some kind of alien or some shit like that. I don't know if that'll actually turn out to be the case. I doubt it. There's no hinting to it. Mm-hmm. Under that false impression, I kind of like was like, all right, so something's gonna come up, right, that make this character interesting. But looking back on it now and thinking like that's most likely not the case, then it's like, yeah, that's a really nothing character.
Yeah,
it's just like they produce like this like ideal girlfriend type from 90s Japan, and we're like, yeah, let's have that character be here and just love Tenchi for no reason, and you know, schoolgirl crush, all that whole thing, right. I guess.
And like, here's the thing, because I also get the impression that, you know, she has some plot relevance outside of just being a girl that Tenchi likes.
Well, I think she's going to be like used by Yugi to do something evil, but I don't think she is inherently like has anything like
yeah.
that.
But the thing is, like, even if that is the case, that doesn't really, like, you know, that's using the fiction to explain the fiction. That is yeah. what Dan Olson called the Thermian argument after the aliens in Galaxy Quest who couldn't recognize fiction.
You want to flesh that out for me?
Well, basically the idea is if you're deflecting critique of a thing by using the thing itself to justify, like, say, Sakuya's an alien, and it's like, oh, the reason Sakuya's such a nothing character is because she's an alien. So she basically exists specifically for Tenchi. See? It's yeah, okay. Right. Like, that's using the fiction to justify, sure. you know, bad tropes or whatever. And the idea is, you know, the Thermians in Galaxy Quest didn't understand that fiction was a thing. They thought everything was historical documents. So it's basically arguing from that perspective of
okay.
this wasn't yeah. created by somebody. Dan Olson explains it much better. That's Folding Ideas on YouTube. But, like, you know, ultimately, Sakuya has friends. She has a life outside Tenchi, clearly. She doesn't just disappear when he's not around. So she should have something, even if she was an alien or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And she doesn't.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying she's still a totally one-dimensional character. It doesn't justify it. It's just like, that's what I thought at first. So I was like, okay, she'll turn out to be more interesting later. And now it's mm-hmm. like, I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, with that aside, I do actually like this show quite a bit. Like,
yeah.
I was surprised because, you know, I'd read that it's worse than Tenchi Universe, and I really didn't like Tenchi Universe. So
yeah,
it was pleasant to be just assaulted with so many gags and goofs. Like, that's really what this show is. Like, it's very goofy and fun, and that's kind of what I liked about Tenchi to begin with. Yeah. So I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, the dynamic works for comedy, and like anything else, like even in Muyo, when they try and do like action stuff, it's like some of the action stuff's kind of cool. Like, they do cool like tech designs and like weapon stuff and like cool like energy blasts, but it's like I don't really care about what's happening in the main serious plot. What I like is when everything's just wacky and nuts.
Right And you know, like, I was okay with that kind of stuff, but as far as taking any kind of romantic thing seriously, like, ultimately I think the problem is once you start to take it seriously, you fall into the hole of that this whole thing is kind of a weird, creepy setup. And
yeah, right.
there's not really a way to escape it. You know, if you take it seriously, it all falls apart. It's like a house sure. of cards. So taking it completely not seriously and having everything be goofy and having there be a spirit who represents cordless, like cell phones and other cordless devices, like that stuff yeah. is so
giant robot contractors who humped themselves while building huge castles.
Yeah, right. Like, that stuff is so silly and I love it, and like characters are more Flanderized, kind of. Basically, everyone has been boiled down to their one essential character trait at this point. Like, Mihoshi is a fuck-up. But, I don't know, like, it works for what it is.
Yeah, I think the Flanderized aspect works for it in this show, where it failed completely in Tenchi Universe. Because mm-hmm. Tenchi Universe, like we said, it had generally a bit more, like, a little bit more of a serious tone, and, like, would try and tell more stories. And when you have the characters boiled down to their essential shit like that, it really shows then, and it's just awkward. Mm-hmm. But in the case where it's, like, everyone is cartoonish and acting crazy, I feel like it really works for that.
Right.
For the kind of more jokey storytelling and just kind of comedic aspects. Sure.
And even, like, from a just straight storytelling perspective, the show kind of does better than Universe in a few ways. Yeah. Just as simple a thing as having the villain even show up in the first episode. Because consider that Tenchi Universe, the first 13 episodes of zero arc whatsoever. It's just they're fucking around. And then the last 13 have an arc, but the actual villain isn't really revealed until like four, maybe five episodes before the end. It's just, you know, this kind of nebulous thing. So even though Yugi looks ridiculous, she's interesting and she's present, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Reboot wouldn't be Reboot if Megabyte wasn't there from the first episode.
It would be terrible.
Yeah, it might be Reboot the Guardian Code.
Oh.
But, like, that's really nice, too. And, you know, again, like, I could just repeat reasons that I liked Moon Mission. You know, the show doesn't play favorites. Everyone's kind of a loser. Like, they've made the transition to everyone being a lovable loser instead of just a few of them. And that's basically my favorite character type, so I really like it.
Lovable loser and lovable shitty person.
Right. And also this show, although this is things like this probably happened in the earlier shows, there's something really genius about one of the last scenes of the 13th episode being everyone exhausted from the fight, laying around the living room as a phone is ringing off the hook, and Ryoko just fucking shoots it with a laser blast.
Kind of like that.
It's like the greatest, like, without even looking at it, just like, I don't want to deal with this shit now.
I like that attention to everyone being wiped out too after a huge fight. That's always a fun little detail.
Well, and there's just a lot of stuff of the girls, I guess, the women, like, hanging out, that isn't whole episodes of that where there's no plot and it's just meandering bullshit, but they work in a decent amount of that stuff, you know, sans Tenchi. Also, one thing that I will say about Sakuya that's positive is that she makes Ryoko and Ayaka team up, which is really funny. Like, that's great, but that's basically her use in my mind.
There is one thing I want to say about this show that irritates me, is that this is the show where the term, like, harem anime was coined.
Sure.
But I fucking hate that term, because this is not a show about a harem. Like, these women aren't having sex with Tenchi at all, and nor are they, like, implored to do so, such as in a harem. It's, like, harems are creepy. This is just a show, I get it, it's many women and one guy, and what happens then? That's the premise.
No, I mean, you know, there's...
That title pisses me off.
No, I agree. I mean, there's a reason that when I said it earlier this episode, there was a distinct stink on it. Like, I don't even like saying it. It's fucking creepy.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on that.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, you know another thing that I like about this series so far? So far, I say. So far.
Yeah.
No nude scenes. There has not been one.
You really hate those.
Appreciate that. I mean, I don't particularly like feeling like a creep, but
sure.
Like, that's just been kind of nice. It also made me realize that like, when thinking about this, I considered that my childhood crush on Kiyone was probably because she has a gun.
which I feel like that's worse.
No, it's a pretty classic, like, 12, 13 year old boy, like, oh, she has a gun, that's cool.
She's my favorite, she has a gun.
Yeah, right. And now America. And now I hate her. But I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts about this, or should we get to the bet?
Let's get along with the bet. So this is a unique scenario with the bet that I kind of like. We only have one more podcast episode's worth of Tenchi to watch. So like 13 more episodes, one more block. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is one bet, one and done. And winner will take all. You get to pick the next series of what little we have left.
As we always do it.
Okay.
The other person gets to pick, what do you call it? Transformers Beast Wars, probably. Because okay. I think that might be the only thing we have left.
Yeah, for the early Tom era.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. If we can even track down Beast Wars.
It's easy.
Okay. Well, so here's where our bet's going to be. Will there or won't there be an episode where Sakuya does not appear? So Sakuya is already kind of because after the whole drama with Tenchi, I think she may have had an episode where she didn't appear.
That's possible. A bit I don't where they were, really recall.
Awkward, and they didn't really interact, and mm-hmm. they've had more. I almost said harem centric episodes and hated myself. Masaki centric episodes.
Yeah, sure. That makes it better, sort of.
I really don't know what's going to happen with her character. I imagine she's going to be used by Yugi, mm-hmm. but I think there might be an episode where she doesn't appear.
Yeah, that's possible.
I will take the bet that, there's going to be an episode where Sakuya does not appear. Okay.
So I win if she appears in every episode, you win if she doesn't appear in every episode. That's easy to track, and we can't possibly have a tie. That's great.
Yeah, that's good.
That's kind of nice. So that's it for the first block of Tenchi in Tokyo. Surprisingly enjoyable show so far because it's totally off the hook crazy. And let's get back into it. Check us out next week for a mini-sode. And in the meantime, this has been Hyperspace Broadcasts. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And keep on re-oaking in the free world.
No. That doesn't even go in. It's so bad. You cut that shit out now.
Be sure to use a telephone line of yellow robots to watch our every move over at facebook.com/HPPod and Twitter @HPPod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. This is also a great way to get in contact with us, naturally. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date, and while you're there, consider leaving us a review. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go catch up on Space Police Policeman.